The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, check it out. We are being blackmailed here. It truly is very close to not able to buy or sell without the vaccine. I don't think it's the mark of the beast, but it certainly is a precursor. We are being told no jab, no job. We're allowed out of our house 1 hour per day. If we go out without a mask, we can be fined up to $5,000. It's a curfew now from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. This has happened so fast. Just since June, they say we have the ability to say no to the vaccine, but lose your job if you refuse. Yeah, some choice that is. We are in some dystopian world I don't recognize. This is from a woman in Australia who is also a homeschooler, used to be here in the area, Raleigh, North Carolina. And things are moving quickly, and you have things that smell like end times. It almost reminds me of smells like Teen Spirit, right? The old Nirvana thing. Smells like end times. We have something that is similar, I think, not the mark of the beast, but certainly similar to it. And then we look at what's going on in Afghanistan and how quickly that is devolving the sin nature of mankind, what's happening in our own country, what's happening around the world. America pulls out, Russia and China steps in. What? And have you ever looked at a map? I'm here with Pastor Chad Harvey from Cross Assembly. Let's look at this map. Let me just go to a map. I'm pulling up Google Map because we're all in a one world situation now with Google controlling everything, apparently. So I look at over here at the map. Okay, so I'm looking at, there's Jerusalem, right? There's Israel. And then I go west. Or no, I go east. There's Israel. And then there's Jordan. And then there's Iraq. And then there's Iran. And then there's Afghanistan. And then there's former Russia. All the Uzbekistans, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan. Now you've got a direct route for Russia and China to basically march right to Jerusalem. Now, that should smell a little bit like Revelation to you as well. So here we are in 2021, the book of Revelation, which we were told by the Lord himself that there is a distinct blessing for those of you that study this book. And Pastor Chad Harvey at Cross Assembly here in Raleigh, North Carolina, formerly RFA, Raleigh First Assembly, back in the house. And you're going through a series right now in Revelation. How could you avoid this? Why did you decide to do this?
You know, I ask myself that every week because I think I'm starting to depress everybody. Every time you come to church for the last 6 weeks, it's been meteors, yes, beasts, oceans turning to blood. And I'm kind of like, maybe I ought to just take the next 10 chapters of Revelation, condense it into two sermons, and move on. Because, it's kind of freaking people out a little bit. Do you leave a little bit depressed? Like, good grief.
No.
Okay, good.
I'm not depressed at all. I'm heartbroken. I lament. I'm concerned about the nature of the world, my neighbors, be them here or all the way over in Afghanistan. I'm concerned about the 12 Marines that were killed. That we know of. This number is low, by the way. This number is going to go up. 12 Marines, one naval corpsman at the suicide bomber vest incident right at a gate outside the airport. They're not even talking about the bombs that went off or whatever the attack was at the hotel. I'm consumed. I understand about all that stuff. Because of what I do, I pay attention to all of it. It breaks my heart. There's lament. But there's no fear. COVID, vaccines, vaccine mandates, blah, blah, blah. You want to, I know people, Chad, that are losing their jobs over the vaccines.
Yeah.
Stuff is spinning seemingly out of control. But when you step back and have a revelatory biblical worldview, I know it's actually not.
Yeah. No, look, Revelation 1:3, blessed is the person that reads this book, that studies this book. That word is Makairos. It's the same word that Jesus used, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those. Same word. Literally, it means happy. And this is not false optimism, and we're going to talk about some specific signs that we're seeing. Yeah. That I call it the great setup. We're not living in the tribulation, but this is the great setup to the tribulation. Steve, I'm actually excited, man. When you start seeing all these things coming together, you're like, wow, of all the generations we could have been born and lived in, Jesus chose this generation, the final generation, I believe, for us to be born and operating. It's kind of an honor.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you look heavenward, and because your salvation draws nigh. I mean, the crazier things get, the more heartbroken we should be, obviously. The more driven into the gospel we should be, and evangelism we should be. But also, hey, you're that much closer to finally being released from this nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
And heaven eventually coming to earth. And so for that, I'm thankful. Yeah. But it's brutal right now.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It is.
So what do we do? That's the whole point today on Theology Thursday. It's kind of, what do we do with Revelation? Because I think some people spend too much time. They see prophetic fulfillment in everything. Yeah. Something happens in the grocery store, and that's a fulfillment of prophecy. So I think we go too far, but I also think most of us probably don't go far enough.
Yeah. Well, and I want us to be careful of a couple of things. Number one, we don't want to be so so enmeshed in what's going on right now that we don't have a little bit of perspective. For example, back in the 80s, people, Christians, believed very sincerely that they were living in the last days. And I heard things like this. Ronald, that's six letters. Wilson, that's six letters. Reagan, that's six letters. 666.
Boom.
Ronald Reagan, he's the Antichrist. Or Gorbachev, he's got the big birthmark on his forehead.
Yeah, that's the mark of the
beast.
That's
the mark of the beast. And so we got to be really careful that we don't get egg on our face. I do think, though, well, that's one thing. So I would say let's not get so sucked into what's going on right now that we lose our objectivity. Secondly, I would also say let's not divide with other Christians over the timing of the rapture and the timing of things. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is coming back bodily and visibly. We need to be on the same page with that. But we've got Christians who disagree with the timing, and so I think we need to be careful with that as well. But, Steve, we are seeing the great setup right now.
Oh, man.
We're seeing globalization. Revelation makes it very clear that during the tribulation, there will be this global movement. We're seeing totalitarianism with the vaccine mandates and mask mandates.
And what I was reading about Australia.
Australia of all places, crazy,
chilled
man.
Out, throw another shrimp on the Barbie. What, yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, and I shared this a couple of weeks ago, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this
no,
again.
Go
but
ahead.
I think 2 Thessalonians talks about the great delusion. In other words, there's going to be lies all over the place. And Satan is called the God, little g, of this world,
yeah.
In 2 Corinthians. And Jesus says he is the father of
lies.
And Steve, I shared this a couple of weeks ago. I said one of the greatest, I think, prophetic fulfillments we're seeing right now taking place are the outright lies that we're seeing in our culture. Now, look. Humans have always lied. Governments always lied.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Steve, we're seeing lies on a global scale. And here's what I told the folks a couple weeks ago. The father of lies, Satan, the little g of this world, is manifesting in these last days and in a crazy way. I said, look, the powers that be lied about Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. They lied about the world leaders' reaction to our pullout in Afghanistan. They lied about the flu and COVID. They lied about COVID numbers in Florida. They inflated it 2 weeks ago by 30%. They lied about Russian collusion, lied about poll numbers, lied about gender, lied about riots in Portland, lied about Jesse Smollett, lied about... They lie, man.
Lie. It's natural language.
It's the natural language, man.
The default position when you still have the power of the prince of the air, which is Satan. And so he's on a leash... But that leash has a lot of room. He's got a lot of room to run, a lot of room to play. That won't last forever. But what do we do with Revelation in 2021 when things obviously are moving in that direction with Pastor Chad? We'll be right back. How about a little cheery music as the world turns? Because that's kind of what it seems like, right? Things are just going south fast. We're devolving quickly in Afghanistan. Right now we know that 12 soldiers died in this attack. That was a suicide bomber vest attack. ISIS-K, whatever that is, they're there. Pastor Chad Harvey from Cross Assembly is here. By the way, most of you that are still listening to me after months or years or whatever, if you like me, you love Chad. So you've got two people in here in the studio today that really, the fear of man's not really an issue for me. Is it an issue for you?
No, not at all.
The fear of pushback because we say things that we know are unpopular, not really an issue for me. Is that an issue for you?
No, I kind of like it. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. And then do you fear God more than man?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, and so we're willing to speak the truth, be salt and light, what we were talking about on the
Hey, it's really liberating, though, isn't it, man?
It's very liberating.
Fear of man will be a snare, is what Proverbs says.
A snare is a trap. And so that's what happens. So if you're sick and tired of mamby-pamby pastors or mamby-pamby churches or pastors that are just afraid to go there because it's not popular, you'd probably like Chad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really why we're there. That's why. And you and I have known each other since, I don't know, 2005, yeah. 2006. It's been a long time. But there's not a lot of pastors left that have no fear of their congregations. But Chad is. So if you're looking for a church and you're here in the Raleigh area or North Raleigh, and as things expand, Cross Assembly is something you should definitely check out. How's the church doing?
It's actually doing really well. You know, we got a great church. Things are going wonderfully. We're growing at our main campus. We're growing at our north campus. And it's all by the grace of God.
Amen.
I joked with somebody the other day. They said, Pastor, it's all going great. Da, da, da. And I said, I give God almost all the glory. I give him all the glory. It's not about me or anything. It's really by the sovereign grace of God that things are going really well. But, Steve, we're talking about this great setup. I don't want to stir the pot too much, but I do believe this. I think Islam is going to play a critical role in the last days.
Yeah,
I think what you're seeing in
this.
Afghanistan is part of the setup.
Yeah, you can. And by the way, if you guys want to go, you can go check out Cross Assembly and look at the series. All the series is available. Also on their Facebook page, but you can also go to their website. Do you even know your website address?
Crossassembly.org. I do remember that.
Are you right?
I'm 90% sure that's Cross. It's either that or com. I think it's
it's crossassembly.org. Good job, Chad. So you can go there and check out the whole sermon series on Revelation. But yeah. All right, Islam. So listen, we were just talking about this on the break. I'll go first. I hate Islam. Do you hate Islam?
I hate Islam. Love Muslims.
I love
hate
Muslims
Islam.
Too, but I hate Islam. Okay, Islam and Revelation. This is really interesting. I agree with you 100%. Let's talk about that because that's what we're talking about right now because of Afghanistan.
Yeah,
the Taliban.
So great Christian leaders like John of Damascus, Martin Luther, John Calvin, Jonathan Edwards. All is interesting. All these guys who lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago kept pointing toward Islam and kept pointing really toward that part of the world and saying that the Antichrist may come out of that part of the world. Sir Robert Anderson, who's a strong Christian, he was also the head of Scotland Yard.
Wow.
Sir Robert Anderson said, we're focused in the wrong direction. We've been looking toward the West for the Antichrist when we should be looking toward Islam for the Antichrist. And, the Antichrist will come from the Roman Empire. We see that in Daniel chapter 9. But we also see hints that maybe he comes from the Assyrian Empire as well. We see that in Micah 5, Isaiah 10, Isaiah 14. So wait a second. How could he come from the Roman Empire, but also the ancient Assyrian Empire? There's one place in the world where there was an overlap of the Byzantine, Eastern Roman Empire, and the ancient Assyrian Empire. And the one place that overlaps is Turkey and Syria.
Oh.
Which is why I've wondered for years if the Antichrist might be coming from Turkey.
What's the dominant religion in Turkey and Syria?
Exactly.
That
Islam.
Would be Islam.
Yes. And the Shiites in particular talk about the 12th Imam or the great Mahdi who will come. That's kind of an eschatological figure in Islam. But I want you to look at some of the traits. So when the Muslims talk about their eschatological figure, who's going to come and make the world right, this 12th guided one or Mahdi, he's going to be a global leader, greatly loved by the world. He's going to make a peace treaty, the Muslims say, with the Jews that will last for 7 years. He will arrive on a white horse. He will punish unbelievers, which in Islam are Christians and Jews.
Infidels.
Revelation 13:7 talks about the Antichrist fighting the people of God. He will be based in Jerusalem. Listen, Egyptian author Muhammad ibn Izzat and Muhammad Arif said that the Mahdi, this great final Islamic leader, will be victorious and eradicate the pigs and the dogs and the idols of this time. Jerusalem will be the location of this rightly guided caliphate and the center of Islamic rule, which will be headed by the Imam al-Mahdi. And so he's based in Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 20 talks about all the different tribulation believers who will be killed. Do you know how it says they are killed in Revelation 20?
Their head is separated from their body.
They are beheaded, which is not the most efficient way of killing masses of people. But in Sharia law, that's the preferred way of execution. So you put all this together. The Muslims say he's going to arrive on a white horse, based out of Jerusalem, peace treaty with the Jews for 7 years. I believe
familiar.
I believe this is going to be the Antichrist. I think the Antichrist could possibly come from the Islamic
who world. Already has, to one extent or another, about 1.2, 1.3 billion followers around the world.
Yeah.
Around the world.
Yeah.
Muslims are still not even 1% of the U.S. population, but they're growing. But you go to Europe, and the most popular, this is a story 10 years ago. In Great Britain, the most popular name for a newborn was
Muhammad. Yeah.
And so because Muslims, in most contexts, are like homeschoolers. They reproduce a lot.
Yep.
They have more kids than average. Europe is below their reproduction rate. Mm-hmm. Mark Stein wrote a great book on this years ago, that in Europe, they were below their reproduction rate, which is why Muslims or Islam can take over Europe without firing a shot. The same thing's happening here. People become more obsessed with themselves. We have less kids because we don't want to spend more money or time on other people. I'm going to spend it on me.
Yeah.
So we have fewer kids. That all works out well. So I, at this point in my life, after you preaching on Revelation through this series, which isn't over yet, and considering what we're seeing now with people with the vaccine mandate, the mask, and how most people are just willing to go along because they're not ready. They just don't want to get into it. They just don't want to have a fight. They're fearful. I'm not actually that impressed by the Antichrist anymore. I don't think it's going to take that much
to
have a one world ruler with somebody that steps in like this, especially when he's already got an army of 1 billion people or so.
Yeah, and you know, people ask me, do you think the Antichrist is on the scene? I like what Chuck Missler said. He has this great theory. Missler says Satan doesn't know when Jesus is coming back. Jesus, when he left the earth, didn't even know when he's coming back. So he says, I think Satan has had an Antichrist waiting in the wing in every generation. In 60 AD, Satan's Antichrist, that he was ready in case this is it, was Nero.
Sure.
Turned out that wasn't the end time. So in the 1930s, he had an Antichrist waiting in the wings just in case Adolf Hitler. I think he has his Antichrist waiting in the wings right now. This might be it. This might be the main man. But I do believe that the Antichrist, there has been an Antichrist waiting in the wings in every generation.
How's Satan's theology?
Better than yours or mine. He knows the Bible better than I do, better than you do.
Isn't that amazing?
And it's amazes me, Steve, is he knows the book of Revelation better than I do or you do. He knows how this thing turns out, but he doesn't repent and get saved. I don't think it's going to happen anytime
soon. No, that's
not
going to happen. So the question is then, how do we incorporate this? Because one of my concerns, and we talked about this a little bit on the break, is we tend to go one way or the other. So people could say you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, or the vice versa. You're so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. Yeah. You're all evangelism, or you're all salt and light, or you're all salt and light, and you're no evangelism. Whatever. But I think that's a concern of mine. I think it's a legitimate one for us right now. Is what do we do with this? Yeah. How do we live? How now shall we live?
Yeah.
To talk about Francis Schaeffer, in light of obviously. I don't think any of us can deny that things are ramping up.
Mm-hmm.
And the time frame seems to be tightening.
Mm-hmm.
Things are speeding up, too.
Yeah.
So the question, and we'll deal with this for the majority of the rest of the show, is how now shall we live? How do we live in light of Revelation in 2021, given the events going on? When it comes to salt and light, when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to the church, when it comes to the lost, what do we do as people that believe in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ? So here with Pastor Chad Harvey, Cross Assembly Church. He's ready to answer, but he can't. Because we got to get to a commercial break. We'll be right back.
All right.
For some strange reason, and this could be prophetic, and it could have something to do with the book of Revelation, every time Pastor Chad Harvey from Cross Assembly is in the studio, the Bee Gees comes on.
Hey, I love
What's
the Bee Gees.
That, Chad?
Honestly, Dawn and I were on vacation last week. And she's like, Chad, why aren't you getting ready to go to the beach? I said, I'm watching this documentary on the Bee Gees. I just can't break away from it. It was incredible, man.
You just couldn't
I love
break
the
away.
Bee Gees. I really couldn't.
And what was your darling wife's response to that experience?
She was like, hey, we're on vacation. We can watch this later, I think. You might be able to find it on YouTube. I was like, yeah, okay. We'll find it on YouTube.
That's hilarious. All right, we're talking about the book of Revelation, Revelation in 2021. What do we do with this? Pastor Chad mentioned this at the beginning of the show. There is the Bible makes it very clear there's a distinct blessing for those of us that would bother to read it, i.e. study it, just like when you look at the Ten Commandments, there's one with a distinct promise, which is children, honor your father and mother. So there's something there. God's telling us, study this and you will be blessed. It's important. And especially every day we get there, every day behind us is a day closer to the return of Christ, to the tribulation and all of those things. So obviously, I think most of us are thinking about this now. How do you not?
Yeah.
How is a Christian right now not at least contemplating?
Get your head out of the sand,
the
man. This is crazy.
Of the book of Revelation, because there's so much going on. But does anything else need to happen? I wanted to ask this question. And then you have these 3 points I want to get to. Because my main concern is, what do we do with this application? But does anything else need to happen on the prophetic timeline? Because 1948 was a big deal. All of a sudden, you know, we got the Jews coming back to Israel. Anything else?
Steve, listen, there's nothing left to take place before Jesus could come back. If you believe in the doctrine of imminency, that Jesus could come back at any minute, like he said, be careful. You don't know when I'm coming back. Then there's not one prophecy left to be fulfilled. Now, you did bring up, well, what about in Matthew 24 where Jesus says, no, all these unreached people groups have got to hear the gospel.
Yeah. And then the end will come.
When Jesus teaches that, he's teaching not about the rapture of the church. He's talking about the second coming at the end of the tribulation. When he makes that statement, it is in the middle, the context of his teaching on the tribulation. So what he's saying is, during the 7 years of tribulation, the gospel is going to go out. A lot of scholars believe more people will be saved in those 7 years of tribulation than the entire church history combined. Jesus is saying the gospel will go out during those 7 years of tribulation, and then I'm going to come back and set up my kingdom on earth. But he's not talking about the rapture of the church.
And thing we have to be careful of, and then I want to get these 3 points, is I'm not going to stop eating lunch with somebody that's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib.
Yeah.
Dispensationalist, historical. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming back. He will establish his kingdom on earth. Heaven will end up here. and all the wrongs will be righted. Every account will be settled. The great white throne judgment. It's all going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, the details are important, but those aren't hills to die on.
Yeah.
Are you in the same camp on that?
Yeah. In fact, you and I were just talking about a great Bible teacher who's 1,000 times smarter than I am. That believe we will be here.
Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, yeah. I can say, during the tribulation. And so, Pastor, what do you do with that? Here, I like this quote. Somebody said, you know, rejoice like a pre-trib and prepare like a post-trib. Okay? So rejoice that we're going to be out of here, and if we're wrong, just be prepared.
Be prepared,
you know?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, application. What do we do with all this?
So, you know, Jesus has already answered this question. I'm a Christian. I'm seeing what's going on in Afghanistan. Masks are making me upset. The jab's making me upset. What do I do? Jesus is like, why are you asking that question? I've already told you what to do. Luke 21:28, in context of the end days, he says, but when these things begin to take place, number one, straighten up. Number two, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh. And so here's what I tell people. Jesus says, straighten up. Look, when you're defeated, what do? You slump. When you're in victory, what do? You straighten up.
Yeah.
And I would say, look, start living and acting like you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you. You're not the victim of the Antichrist. You're not the victim of the beast coming out of the ocean. You're a child of the Most High God. Straighten up, man. Be bold. Be confident. Be strong. And it's interesting. There's this great psychological term called act as if. If you're not confident, act like you're confident, and these feelings will follow that action.
I hear Jesus, my dad out there somewhere saying, and this is how he raised us, always act like you know what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, my dad used to say the same thing. So, you know, look, straighten up, that's number one. And then Jesus says, look, lift up your heads. Your head determines your focus. And Hebrews 12:1-2 says this, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. I'd say lift up your heads and keep your focus on Jesus Christ. You know, Corrie ten Boom has this great quote. She said, look around and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Look at Christ and be at rest. Mm. And so I would say, watch a little bit of Fox News and then read your Bible. You know, watch a little, I was going to say CNN. Don't watch CNN.
Well, but sure, you could say that. Watch a little CNN. Repent, and then
yeah. Or get on Facebook for 5 minutes.
Everybody relax. We're having a little fun. We can joke around.
But look, get on Facebook for a few minutes. And then go to the prayer closet. Keep your focus on Jesus. And we're looking for the Antichrist. Jesus never told us to look for the Antichrist. He told us to look for the Christ. Mm. And so I would say, number one, straighten up. Be bold. Be confident. Be strong. If you don't feel like it, at least act like it. Lift up. You know, lift up your head. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And then look up, because Jesus says, your redemption draweth nigh. And, you know, 2 Timothy says there's a special crown for those of us who've longed for his appearing. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things that are above. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. Here's what has happened with the Biden administration. I realize this. My identity as a Christian was right up there with my identity as an American. And now I've come to the realization, I love America, but it's a messed up country.
It's messed up.
And so,
you're Daniel. This is Babylon.
Exactly.
You live in a pagan land.
You do, and so my citizenship primarily is in heaven. And so, you know, you've heard this whole thing of so-and-so, heavenly-minded, he's no earthly,
no earthly
good. I've not met a lot of Christians like that. I've met a lot of Christians who are so earthly-minded, they're no heavenly good. And C.S. Lewis has an incredible quote. He says, look at the people who did the most for the kingdom throughout history. He said, the people who did the most here on planet Earth were more focused on heaven than anybody else. And so I think that's it, man. Straighten up.
Yeah.
Be bold. Be strong. Lift up. Keep your focus on Jesus. And then look up. Keep this heavenly perspective. Don't keep this earthly perspective. Keep a heavenly perspective. I mean, look, here's what we as Christians should do when we hear about the suicide bomber who killed all those people. Lord God, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus for the families of all these involved. Lord, I pray that somehow, some way, what Satan meant for evil, you'll mean for good. And I pray that these families will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what having a heavenly focus is. Having an earthly focus is, dear God, I just pray that the Marines will go in there and wipe all them Taliban out and destroy them all. And, you know, I
get Biden out of the way.
Get Kamala
out of the way.
I was talking to a guy. He said he was riding through, I think it was Raleigh. It's been a couple years ago. And he said, I saw a car. He said, on the left side, there's the Jesus fish. He said, you can't make this up. On the left side, there's the Jesus fish. And on the right side, it said, nuke Iran. That's it. You know, God, nuke them until they glow so we can shoot at them in the dark in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man. That's not having that heavenly-minded perspective,
no.
You know?
No, and there's the reality of the world that we live in. You get into just war theory here, which I know you've studied, and that was a part of my ethics degree as well. And we live in a dangerous, broken world, and sometimes in order to thwart evil, things have to blow up and people have to get shot.
Yeah.
But you never... A soldier should always be alert, ready to act, do what they need to do. But as a Christian, always with a broken heart.
Yeah.
Because most likely you're sending somebody a little sooner to hell rather than heaven.
Yeah.
And so there's that brokenness at the same time where we're shrewd as a viper and gentle as a dove.
Yeah.
And I think we struggle with that.
Yeah, we do. Now, look, there's a guy. So you've heard me talk about Jesus evangelism, and I mean all that. Having said that, there's a guy named Jocko Willink. Do you know who Jocko Willink is?
No.
Oh, man. He was the commander of SEAL Team 3. Oh, he's now a big leadership guru. Google Jocko Willink Biden response. And what he's done.
Oh, that.
Yeah. He said, if I was Joe Biden, here's how I would have responded. Everybody, I made a critical decision. It was a mistake. I'm sorry.
And that's,
but now I got to give this message to the Taliban, blah, blah.
Current situation in Afghanistan. As you know,
just a taste,
we were
okay.
Set to leave Afghanistan this month, and as we began the final drawdown, I made some critical errors. Namely, I underestimated the strength of the Taliban, and I overestimated the strength and capability.
So this guy's ex-Navy SEAL, right?
Yeah, SEAL Team 3. Yeah.
Let me skip to the end.
Threat to humanity or to the good people of Afghanistan.
Now listen.
May God bless America, and may God have mercy on the souls of our enemy, because we will not.
All right, so.
Yeah.
And there's, listen, there's a time and a place for that.
Yes.
And it needs to be done in order to protect the innocent.
Absolutely.
Which is one of the reasons God instituted government.
Yeah,
in the first place.
I mean, Chuck Colson's book, Kingdom in Conflict, I think Kingdoms in Conflict is a great example of this conflict, this tension between being citizens of this world and the citizens of the kingdom of God. But my focus, I have to tell myself that all the time. Straighten up. Chad, don't whine.
Yeah.
Be mealy-mouthed. Straighten up. Be bold. Be strong. Lift up. Keep your eyes on Jesus and look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Keep your mind on things above. And look, Steve, what is the last thing Jesus told us to do? In Matthew, go make disciples. In Mark, did you know there's a Great Commission at the end of Mark? Mm-hmm. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, all creation. So that's in Mark. In Luke, tarry in Jerusalem, receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and then go out and preach the gospel. In John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. In Acts, he says the same thing, go into all the world. I'm thinking Jesus, like, I told you, go preach the gospel, go preach the gospel, go preach the gospel. And now we're all wondering, well, what should we do
what
in the last days?
Jesus,
like, how about go preach the gospel?
So
like
I want to talk
you.
About utilizing revelation and the preaching of the gospel, because I think most of us, Pastor Chad, assume people are just going to think we're wackos. They're going to write it off. You said something different in a sermon recently about the general interest of people in the end of history. We've got an answer for that. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could get Bob Seger to redo this song. It's a Hollywood Nights, Revelation Nights.
Yeah.
Probably not. We're here with Pastor Chad Harvey, Theology Thursday. Pastor Chad from Cross Assembly here in Raleigh, North Carolina, crossassembly.org. If you want a pastor to pamper you, to protect you from difficult issues, cultural issues, political issues, if you want him to stay away from some of the more uncomfortable teachings of the Bible, don't talk about things that the culture doesn't like, Cross Assembly isn't for you.
But
is that about right?
Yeah, but I really am trying to be more like sensitive. I want to be, honestly, I want not a double portion of Joel Osteen's encouragement, but I would like to have a little bit more of that encouragement. I'm serious. I'm trying to do better. Honestly, I'm trying to do better.
And I appreciate your sense of humor.
Okay.
But listen, in the days that we're in, cotton candy shouldn't be on the menu.
It shouldn't be, but every now and then, man, you got to have a little bit of a dessert, you know?
Well, I mean, in Revelation, look, that's why when Chad's in the middle of a series on Revelation. Maybe some people don't want to hear that. You're in the middle of it. Maybe they hope you're close to the end of it.
Yeah.
But it's in there, go, listen, you said this earlier. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory.
Yeah.
I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Satan is a vanquished animal at some point. And so now he's just ticked off. So he's going to take as many people down as he can. He wants to ruin as many Christians' lives as he can. And so all that's going on. But you know that we've got this snapshot of time to get to the end of human history. And then heaven comes back to earth. And then that's all eternity. And this stuff isn't even hardly a blip on the radar screen. And I know that for a fact because of Christ, and I'm sealed in him. And that's mine.
Mm-hmm.
So you can throw all this other garbage at me, and they'll watch the whole world devolve, which is heartbreaking, whether we're talking about the state of our nation, our president, or what's going on in Afghanistan. But I know as it gets wilder, paradise gets closer.
Yeah.
And that is a good message.
It's exciting,
there's nothing
wrong
about that.
Okay.
And he takes the earth back. So there you go. There's some cotton candy for via the book of Revelation. All right. Evangelism.
So, you know, here's what I'd say. Let's leverage people's interest in end time stuff.
Yes.
I have talked to lost people who don't care anything about the gospel, anything about the Bible, but you start talking about world events and things like the Antichrist.
Yeah.
They get into that. Well, man, don't say, well, they ought to be more interested in Jesus. Let's leverage this interest that people have in end times. Don't tell me the world's not in. Do you have any Hollywood movies? You know, the sixth seal, the seventh sign. Right? Yeah. People are interested in this and use that as a segue to the gospel. Just come right back to Jesus. Yeah.
And I think, whether they understand it or not, because the law is written on the human heart, we can go to Romans, we can go to Ecclesiastes, there's several places we go. I don't believe in atheists, because I believe Romans 1, God's made his existence plain, men are without excuse, nobody's an atheist, they may be an agnostic, and an atheist is just, in my book, an agnostic with an attitude problem most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So most people, I think, have this innate sense that things are getting worse, not they're getting better, and they get upset, just like we see people. Why are people freaking out about masks and vaccines? Because they're afraid to die.
Right.
Okay, as a Christian, I think we can use that.
Yeah. You know, that hit me recently, and I'm not saying if you're a Christian and you're big into masks and vaccine, you've lost your salvation. I'm not saying that. But the thought hit me, why is it that the left is so obsessed with saving their lives, and we don't want any risk because what if I die? And I thought, wait a second. If you didn't have the hope of eternal life, you would do everything you can to have zero risk. Zero.
Zero.
As a Christian, I'm not being, you know, cavalier, but if I die, I go to be with Jesus, and so suddenly I don't have to have zero risk, you know?
To live as Christ and to die as
Christ. So I would keep saying this, man, keep preaching the gospel, bring it back to Jesus. You know, I remember years ago my dad told me, he said, look, I'm going to go to work today. When I get home, I want the grass mowed. I want this yard mowed. Steve, I spent that day doing a lot of great stuff. I killed a hornet's nest for him. You know, I fixed my bike. I did some good things. And when he got home, it wasn't mowed. He's like, well, why is the grass not mowed? I was like, yeah, but Dad, I did this and I did that. And Dad said, wait a second. I didn't ask you to. I told you, don't do all those good things. I said, mow the grass. And so I think what the church needs to understand is there are some good things that we need to do, but we can't do that to the neglect of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know this already. Gospel, it's an old English term. Good spell is literally what it means. Good news in the midst of all this bad news. COVID, masks, Afghanistan, we got the best news the world has ever heard, and that's that Jesus saves.
Amen.
He can save our soul. One day he's going to come back, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and
Amen.
Ever.
And you knew your dad was coming home that night, and you still
didn't. I knew, and I still didn't.
We finished the last segment, and Chad was going through the Gospels, the book of Acts, about the Great Commission is all over the place. And so we need to do that in light of this. All right, so if Obama's not the Antichrist, who is?
We don't know. Like I said, I think he's been there at every generation, but the Bible does say that, you know, he's going to make a 7-year peace treaty with the Jews. He's going to be a great financier. He'll be a businessman, Revelation 13:7, Ezekiel 28. He'll be a great speaker. He'll be able to move people with his speaking. He'll be a genius, Daniel 7:20, 8:23, Ezekiel 28:3. It's kind of interesting. He'll possibly be a homosexual because Daniel 11:37 says he will show no regard for women. Now, we're not quite sure what that
means.
Maybe
it's just a Sharia law Muslim.
It could be that, or it could be he has no interest in women.
Yeah.
So we're not sure. Revelation 13:3, he's going
to
have a head wound. He'll be supernaturally healed. You know the rest. He gives a mark to everybody who follows him. We see that in Revelation 13:16. So there is coming a world leader. I think he is here on the scene already. I personally believe that. And I believe that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why we have to be very sensitive to any type of government edict that forces us to violate conscience or forces us to kind of buy into totalitarianism, because I think that in doing that, we're actually paving the way, we're making it easier for this global leader.
Well, look, you go back 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. when I first became a believer, and I started learning about Revelation, and I read the Left Behind series, yeah. and I'm doing all that stuff, and I'm sitting there going, man, one world government, one world leader, everybody's just going to follow him, and they're just going to get in line. I mean, that doesn't seem – we're an yeah. independent people here in America. Yeah. We – viva la liberté yeah. and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm like, wear a mask, do this, don't do that. Now you've got – in New York City, where I'll be for 9/11 – On September 13th, they're going to start enforcing, if you don't have proof of vaccination, you can't go into the bar, you can't go into the restaurant, you can't go into the Broadway theater, you can't go into the movie theater, you can't do this, you can't do that. Show us the mark, in this case, and then you'll have access to commerce.
Yeah.
And they're going to kill a lot of businesses doing that.
Yeah.
And most people, I said this before we got on the air, we're pushing 60% of Americans are all for vaccine mandates.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, is it really that much of a leap to see an antichrist who's going to promise you a rose garden, and then you're just going to kind of lay down
yeah.
and say, well, if that's what I need to do to feed my family, that's what I'll do.
And, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, we'd read this and say, now, wait a second. How can there be a mark, a mandate
right.
that makes people be able to go to stores and buy things? We thought that's crazy.
Crazy.
It's not crazy now.
No.
Man, you know, it was either Gordon Brown or Tony Blair last year in the midst of all the COVID stuff. So you can find the quote. You know what we need right now? We need a world leader that can kind of bring all the nations together to help us to navigate this thing. It's amazing, man. We're just seeing all the – again, it's the great setup. We're seeing all the pieces yeah. coming together right now, whether it be Islam, global mandates, globalization, totalitarianism. We're seeing all that come together right now.
What do you think the big – just interacting with your own church across assembly, believers, people coming to church, people on staff, what are some of the biggest challenges Christians are facing right now in the midst of the environment we're in?
I'll be two things. Anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety going on out there. In fact, I would say the anxiety far and away are the biggest issues that people are dealing with right now. I read something from a
and we're not talking about kind of like clinical. That's something that's been going on for a while, but yeah. just general anxiety.
General anxiety. There's a man named Leahy. He's a psychiatrist that specializes in anxiety. He said the average person living today – no, I'm sorry. The average high school student today has the same level of anxiety as a psychiatric patient back in the 1950s. Jeez. I want you to think about that for just a second. The average high school student today has the same level of anxiety as the psychiatric patient back in the 1950s. And we didn't do us any favor by isolating people and forcing them to look at their Facebook or TV 24/7, and then we're wondering why suicide attempts are through the roof.
Yeah, that's right.
We've seen that in our church.
Yeah.
Honestly, we've seen an increase in suicide attempts. We've seen an increase in anxiety. It's just amazing.
So anxiety is one. Is there another?
You know, I would say, well, I don't know that you want to get on this topic, but with men, that porn addiction
yeah.
is becoming a major issue as well. And again, we saw that last year because men were now isolated. At home,
bored,
with a computer, teenage boys,
upset,
same
anything,
as well.
I need anything to get out of
and
my
so there's
life.
Still that whole moral attack from the enemy as well. It's just, it's been a very, very challenging time. But by and way, anxiety is the number one issue.
I think the boldness of the left, particularly, the boldness of the spirit of the age, the boldness of the anti-Christian bent has really increased way more than even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
People are saying, oh, we're starting to get persecuted 10 years ago. I don't know about that a little bit in our context. But the boldness and just the absolute jettisoning any notion of shame.
Yeah.
Things are spinning out of control so quickly. And even the gender thing. Now, the military is not ready to handle Kabul, Afghanistan, because they're too busy teaching critical race theory and gender ethics.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look,
at a war college.
Mark Milley said our biggest issue right now is white rage. I don't know, General Milley. I think we may have some other issues than white rage.
I think Sharia rage might be a little
bit
more.
Yeah. And so I hate to see this happen. I hate to see attacks. I hate to see American servicemen die. It's horrible. I just wonder if it might wake up America to the main issue here. And so I don't know.
You hope so.
Hope so.
Prayer points. We've got about a minute left. How should we be praying?
You know, I would say pray, number one, for our president. We're commanded to do that. And I mean that. Not just a sarcastic, smarmy prayer. We've got to pray for our president.
All those in authority.
The Bible also tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm big on that.
Yeah.
I just believe that if you honor and pray for Israel, God will honor you as well. And then Jesus said, pray that the Lord will send more harvesters into the harvest field. Man, let's pray for an end-time harvest for the gospel.
Amen. Crossassembly.org is the website, crossassembly.org. Pastor Chad Harvey. Here down the Yonkers Road, which is off the Beltline in Raleigh, as well as North Raleigh up near 540, and it will continue to grow. But check it out live on Sundays, 8 a.m., 9:30 a.m., 11 a.m. Real Christians, I guess, go to the 8 a.m., at least that's what I've been told. But crossassembly.org, Pastor Chad Harvey. Always great having you. Thanks for your time again.
Thanks, brother.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It, man.
This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.